This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thanks for listening to The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Joyce Goh and Charis Abdullah. In about half an hour's time is The Breakfast Grill, where Chuang will speak to the CEO of Malaysia Reinsurance, Berhad Zainuddin Ishak. And they will discuss the performance of the company, which is the key subsidiary of the publicly listed MNRB. Now, on to some of the other major international headlines. China will create its own version of the Silicon Valley, dubbed the Greater China Area. And this is going to be hailed as a new era of opening up. The Greater Bay Area is a plan to promote economic cooperation between some of the major cities in China, including Hong Kong, Macau, and about nine cities in the Guangdong province.
Yeah, this idea that a city with an edge in financial services can complement a neighbor whose strength is in manufacturing, thereby boosting regional development. They will see Hong Kong, Macau, Shenzhen, and Guangzhou have been, you know, these are the cities that have been named as the key cities of the Bay Area's and engine for regional development.
Yeah, so the 11 cities will combine to share advances in infrastructure, town planning, and innovation and tech. So it's, I guess, a lot of sharing of streamlining a lot of things that they have there. And GDP numbers-wise, I think the blueprint identified five strategic orientations, including closer integration between mainland China, Hong Kong, and Macau, while upholding the governing principle of one country, two systems for the two special administrative regions.
So if you think about how to put this into context, I mean, the Malaysia GDP is about 1.5 trillion. That's about 500 billion ringgit at current, 500 billion US dollars at current exchange rates, right? I think not too long ago, the GDP was around 1 trillion ringgit. Some of these cities in China, I mean, obviously, we're not going to say we're overtaking China in terms of GDP, but one city alone is the size of Malaysia's GDP. For example, Guangzhou, 350 billion US dollars as of 2018. Hong Kong itself is about 340 billion. Shenzhen, 360 billion in terms of GDP. So they really have the might to make this kind of cooperation actually work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for you know, just for some confusion, the whole two administration, I think in the international stage, Hong Kong, Macau, they've all referred themselves when they approach international meetings as economies rather than, you know, one China as a country. Now, but at the same time, it really reflects China's aggressive ambition to become the tech sort of leader in the world. I think they've made a lot of headway, for an example, especially in 5G now. I think a lot, you know, in many countries, they have, you know, because of that, US is also getting a bit more concerned and trying to intervene.
Yeah, so this plan, I think it plans to consolidate and enhance Hong Kong's status as its international finance, transportation and trade center, as well as international aviation hub. But the other core cities like Macau would be a tourism hub. Guangzhou would be take on the role as a provincial capital. And Shenzhen would play its part as, you know, special economic zone and home for China's innovation and tech giants.
Yep, obviously this would raise a lot of concerns about autonomy, because in Hong Kong, there's supposed to leave Hong Kong alone for 50 years from 1997, since the independence from the UK. But now Hong Kong is worried about China meddling in that one country, two systems philosophy. However, Hong Kong's leader, Chief Executive Carrie Lam, has rejected those concerns. She insisted that the central government has taken on board their concerns and views of the plans.
Yeah, so with regards to the critics, now hours after the plan was published, pro-democracy lawmakers, they've voiced their concern. Civic Party leader Alvin Yong Ngok Kiu said that drafting process lacked transparency, and the Hong Kongers who will be most affected has been consulted. With regards to Democratic Party Chairman Wu Chi-wai, said that Lam had not fought for Hong Kong interests and the city could lose out to its neighbours.
Yeah, I think the pushback is also that the plan lacked concrete strategies as to how to reconcile differences between, you know, the different cities in terms of social, economic and political systems involved. Yeah, it's huge. This plan is huge, but how are they going to execute it?
Yeah, I think Malaysia also tried to form its version of the Silicon Valley a few decades ago under the previous, and current Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, and I think this is as much have been consigned to the dustbin of failed grand projects along with Wawasan 2020, right? We haven't achieved those objectives. And recently, Ideas came out with a report that Cyberjaya was a grand ambition that has ultimately fallen short. And they said that the key reason for this is that the government cannot create hubs from scratch. It needs to support what emerges naturally, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's academic institution, an innovative society, a competitive society. In fact, I think a few years ago, Wired also did a story on Malaysia's Cyberjaya with the title Inside Cyberjaya's Malaysia's Failed Silicon Valley. So this is the Wired magazine talking about our project.
Yeah, so you're right about that in terms of support that is needed. It's not just the infrastructure. It's also the people. You need institution that produces sort of tech individuals. For example, what we have in Malaysia is just what we know of was just Multimedia University. And in Cyberjaya, there's also Lim Kok Wing, which is more skewed towards, more design and media rather than, for an example, software engineers and so forth. So I think all this contributes. And hence, that is also the reason why we see, for an example, companies like Grab, one of the reason that they are in Singapore is because it's talent, really.
I don't know about that.
I think one of the reasons.
Most of the highest could be in Malaysia, right?
Yeah, but
I think that's for legal, contractual purposes. But we can hopefully get Grab onto the grill and ask them that.
Or maybe it just makes more business sense for them to have an office to move to Singapore compared to Malaysia. Yeah, but yeah, we definitely should get them on the grill.
Okay, 742 Jet Airways India is India's biggest full service airline and is selling a majority stake for 1 rupee. That's about 1 US cent. And this is part of a bailout plan by the state-owned lenders to give the airline time to arrange for fresh equity. This arrangement is to be voted through tomorrow with India's general election just weeks away.
Yeah, so some background on the Jet Airways. One of India's top three airlines in the past decade, 24% is owned by the Abu Dhabi Etihad Airways, and they have a market share of about 13.9%, and they fly to international destination, which includes London and Singapore.
Yeah, so, is this a sign of the times? Could be. I think they were impacted because of the rise of budget carriers into the market in the mid-2000s. I think Jet Airways also began to drop fares, some below cost price. And, looking at this, provincial taxes of as much as 30% on jet fuel also added to their expenses. And, of course, price-conscious consumers didn't want to pay premium for onboard meals and entertainment. They prefer budget fares and, it's just to get from point A to point B. Definitely impacted this airline.
So you might say that, 1 cent, buying over one's company for 1 cent is a steal, right? But not necessarily so, because what is happening here is that a lot of the debts that's being owed to the banks will be converted into equity. In fact, the consortium of lenders would end up holding about 50% of the Jet Airways as a result of converting this huge amount of debt to equities, and that will give them some breathing space to look for funding and to look for other shareholders so that they can restructure. So it's a classic company turnaround restructuring situation. But a lot of jobs are at stake as well, and that's why the state of India is willing to actually embark on this bailout to save about 23,000 jobs. Okay, 7:45, we'll be coming back with some local news on the National Wage Index. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.